From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Suzanne Jackson has lived a creative life. She's known for her visual art, but is also a poet, dancer, writer, radio host, and has a master's in theatrical set design from Yale. Telfair Museums in Savannah is mounting a 50-year retrospective of this Renaissance woman called Suzanne Jackson, 5 decades beginning this Friday. If you're near the coast, you can meet Suzanne and view her work at the Jepson Center tomorrow. She joins me now from GPB Savannah to talk about her first full career retrospective. Hello, Suzanne.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Happy to speak with you. And what a career you've had. You and your curator, Rachel Reese, have been collecting and preparing for the show for, I guess, about 2.5 years. What's it like to revisit work way back from the beginning of your career?
It's been quite wonderful because, first of all, Rachel Reese was the new contemporary curator at the Telfair, and she's one of the first to actually visit studios of artists in the Savannah area and actually all around the state of Georgia. And it's really helped to energize many of the artists in the city. So my retrospective, as far as I'm concerned, is an exhibition showing my work and life work for almost 60 years of my life. But for me, it also is a way for the artist in Savannah to be recognized. It's, you know, when you're as an artist, I think it's really important to share what you do with other artists and with the public. And also, Rachel assembled three most incredible interns last summer. Treasure Flavors from Spelman College, who's a curatorial intern, and Donna Malaver from Parsons, who is a photography student, and Anna Landau-Smith received her MFA in art history. So these three interns dug into all of my records and things that I'd, you know, saved in the studio and pulled up all kinds of photos, family photos and writings, and even went through some of my journals to look through and find references. One of the important things about this that they've all worked really hard for, and I have also three young African-American art historians who are writing for the catalog, and we have an introduction by Betty Saar, who's a well-known artist.
Yes,
she's
a
longtime
artist.
Friend. Mm-hmm. So Betty has written the introduction for the catalog. One of the things that we've tried to do is to straighten out many of the misconceptions or the from one journal to the next things are written that are just a little bit off, and then people tend to copy those mistakes.
Well, let me stop you there because, you know, that's the thing. When you're looking at a whole life retrospective, there's one thing. There's the record of the work, the official record,
yes.
And then there's your memory and your experience of that. And I'd love to know a little bit about that because, you know, you're known as a collage artist. You do these sort of paintings. You do these kind of the moment, looking at things, putting them together. But let's talk a little bit about the collage of your life, if you will.
All right. But my work is not collage. This is,
well,
I'm a
good,
painter.
Good. Tell me.
That's part of the corrections because I'm not a collage artist. I'm a painter, and I've worked with acrylic paint since the beginning, since the early 60s when acrylic was being introduced. And throughout those years, acrylic paint has also developed as the mediums have been developed by the paint companies, the best paint companies. So I've experimented with papers on canvas, starting first on canvas when there was gesso only as a medium to prime the canvas. But I was also using the whites of the gessos, experimenting with the variations of kinds of whites. My work over the years moving from place to place and having supplies or not having supplies, and then finally having a really good studio space in Savannah, I've been able to experiment with layering. My work is always layered, almost in the sense of old master's technique of oil painting layering, but also in the watercolor medium of layering washes and layers of paint. So I work that way in acrylic, and the works are layers of paint on top of one another, and now the newest works are actually using acrylic paint as the surface. So paint on paint, which is not collage. It's not right. the same. My work is kind of assembled work in the sense of layering. It started with layering papers and then layering, adding fabrics. I also try not to dispose of paint down the drain. So I save all the residue and I pull up even the paint from my hands. I put back into the paintings for texture. So the works that I've been known for, actually people have been showing the same works that are 40 years old, and the newest works that and also in 2019, I worked up to the moment of our installing the exhibition, are really going to surprise people because they've been looking in publications of my work for all these years of work from the past.
Yes, yeah, so that's the thing. When you're looking at a large career retrospective, obviously things evolve. Your life evolves, your sense of self evolves, your visions of the world evolve. Want to let listeners know that I'm speaking with Suzanne Jackson when we're reflecting on her work spanning more than five decades. Telfair Museums in Savannah will exhibit a 50-year retrospective of her work. It's called Suzanne Jackson, Five Decades. But for our radio audience who can't actually see, I'd love to just ask you some parts of your life about, you know, what you've done. Let's say the layers of your life. You graduated from San Francisco State University, moved around a lot as a kid. You were in St. Louis, San Francisco, Fairbanks, Alaska. Then you moved to L.A. in the 1960s, but you'd already toured with a modern dance company, so living a really creative life. This was when racial tensions were at a super high pitch. You know, we think Watts riots in 1965. You opened a gallery, Gallery 32 in L.A., 1968. So what inspired you to open a gallery?
Actually, I was a ballet dancer, and I toured with Music Theater USA. It began with Sacramento Music Circus, and from California. And these are the things, the nuances that I've understood, because this is also a generational understanding of time and how people approach the past. And so this is the reason I'm happy to have a younger group working with mm-hmm. this on this exhibition, because I toured, and we toured from California. You tour through Mexico, South America, and then back to the States. And while I was in South America, I saw the differences of, well, first of all, when we stopped in Venezuela, Caracas, there was a television team with black technicians and cameramen. We didn't have that in the States in the 1960s. And coming back to the United States, having left San Francisco, and the whole Vietnam War was happening then, the human being, I arrived in San Francisco just in time for that. Then I moved to Los Angeles, and there was the big love-in. And I lived in Echo Park. And the studio spaces, or the places where I had studio, were sold or rented. And I was looking for a new space. And I found this beautiful building, the Granada Buildings, that reminded me of the La Alhambra Hotel in Montevideo. And I thought, I've got to have that space for a studio. So I was not planning a gallery. I was looking for studio space. That's what I understood that I was supposed to do as a painter. And also living in Los Angeles, the distance was so great to get to ballet class that my emphasis was always to become a painter. And it's just something that, you know, I knew that I wanted to do. Well, as a result, someone had told me that I should take class from Charles White.
Painter Charles White. I mean, there have been MoMA retrospectives of his work. He's a very important artist.
Well, I was there in New York for his retrospective. For 50 years, we were trying to have a retrospective of Charles White's work. So during this whole period, while I had what my studio space became Gallery 32, because David Hammons and I were both in Charles White's class, and Alonzo Davis, a number of artists were in his class. And when David Hammons saw the studio space that I had, he said, oh, you should make this a gallery. You should let us have a show. And I actually ended up inviting a friend from college and some other artists. Timothy Washington was one of the first artists to have an exhibition. And then the word of mouth, and people would come in with work, and we just worked as a kind of free group of artists just putting on, using the space and having exhibitions. And one of the exhibitions that I suppose has become very well known was Emory Douglas, who was the artist for the Black Panther Party. That exhibition was actually for the Children's Breakfast Program and for the to free prisoners. And we did an exhibition of works by the students, the children at the Watts Towers Art Center, and then also some fundraisers for the Black Arts Council. So basically, we were we were the artists who weren't being shown by the at that time supposedly establishment of artists.
Right.
And now almost all of us, well, we've been in the exhibition that started at the Tate called Soul of a Nation, Art in the Age of Black Power. That exhibition started at the Tate Museum in London. It went to Crystal Bridges, and then it was at the Brooklyn Museum, and now it's at the Broad in Los Angeles. The Charles White retrospective started in Chicago, went to MoMA, New York, and then it is in Los Angeles. And then along with that exhibition is an exhibition called Life Model, Charles White and His Students. So there are 40 of us in that exhibition, which was like a reunion. And what I did not realize was that Charles White had started teaching at Otis Art Institute in 1965. So I had already graduated from San Francisco State with a BA in painting and toured South America. And I guess I was one of the early students, African-American students, who was in his class in 1968, and David Hammond's in the class. So, and I discovered later the other students, African-American students especially, and many others. Actually, the wonderful thing about his classes was that everybody in Los Angeles was alerted that this wonderful teacher was at Otis Art Institute. So I didn't realize at the time that I was one of the early students in his class, and others actually took his classes in the 70s because they were already registered at other universities. So we're actually really proud to be students of Charles White. But also, I reread, people were saying I was influenced by his, his mentorship and social activities and community responsibility. But I was reading through some of the research that was done on my life. I attended Monroe High School. I was born in St. Louis, Missouri.
Let me just tell you, Suzanne, we just have half a minute left for you to wrap up. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Obviously, you have a whole life worth of work and so many people that you've worked with. And of course, people can see a lot of that on display at the Telfair Museum. But before you leave, obviously visual arts, your first love, but I want to know, which gift could you not live without? Visual arts, theater, costume design, dance, poetry, writing, radio?
I will always be a painter, and I will always be a visual artist. And I really invite everyone to come to see the exhibition. All the team that's worked on the show has been quite incredible, and it will be a surprise for many people who will be able to see the history of my life as well, and that relates to the work and the progression of that work from 6 through 60 years, all the way to my first paintings when I was a little girl.
And like a great artist, giving credit to other people, too. That's wonderful. Yeah. Suzanne Jackson, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share this. Thank
Suzanne
you.
Jackson, a woman of many talents. Her work is going to be at the Telfair Museums in Savannah from June 28th until October 13th. It's called Suzanne Jackson, 5 Decades. And if you are in Savannah tonight, you can meet her at the opening program and reception for the retrospective. Details at gpbnews.org. Coming up, a conversation with one of our own, Rosser Shemansky, soon-to-be retiree and former drag queen.